It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Amen. To come worshiping the Almighty God. Good to see a good number come out. I know we still got folks out on spring break and traveling and here and there and yonder and everywhere else, but glad y'all are here. Amen. Glad y'all are here. Good to be here this morning. I had some thoughts. David said he had trying to focus on what he needed to sing this morning. You know, sometimes I do that with sermons. I began praying about it actually 2 or 3 days ago. What God would have me to deliver here this morning, and it's about forgiveness. It's about forgiveness. You know, all the thoughts I had about forgiveness all the way through, for us to be truly joyful and happy as Christians, we have to have forgiveness, right? And it has to go both ways. It tells us that if we want to be forgiven, we have to be forgiving. And so I want to use some of these scriptures today, but I've focused on, you know, what keeps people happy, what keeps people joyful in the Lord. And one of the major things in that is closeness with God. And another thing is forgiveness. Now, I could preach obedience and several other things to go with that, but I want to talk about forgiveness today. I look through this crowd as individuals. You know, God made everybody here different. I can pick out y'all by individual, you know, by your looks, by your characteristics, by your acts and deeds, you know, and call you by name. And I thought how wonderful it was that God made us all individuals. But I can also look through this group and tell you that we've all got something in common. Every one of us got something in common. Romans 3 and 23, it was very plain. It said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 8 and 23. And I begin to understand through that we've all got something in common. And, you know, if we stop right there, what a sad day it would be to know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'd hate to send everybody home on that note that if that was the last scripture God had recorded and given to us through His Word, that you'd leave here disappointed, discouraged, out of heart, knowing that you have not pleased God. And, you know, but I want to share with you some more of God's promises and God's Word about forgiveness. Very plainly in Romans 5 and 8, "But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now that begins to reverse that role that we have read up here 3 and 23. That begins to put a reverse on it, that we know that we have a God that loved us. It said, "In while we were yet sinners." And so you don't have to clean yourself up to go to God. He'll do that for you. You're not going to have to prepare yourself and say, "Well, I'm going to have to get rid of all these sins in my life so I can go to God." God made the way to get rid of the sin. You know, I think so oftentimes we try to take care of our own sins and we try to clean up our own thing. It's like mopping a mud floor. You know, the more you mop, the muddier it gets. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin. But we want to talk about this forgiveness that we might leave here as children of God and we be filled with His joy and filled with His happiness and filled with His glory, that we know that we've been forgiven. 5 and 9, "Much more than being justified by His blood shall we be saved from wrath through Him." And so we begin thinking about forgiveness. You know, I heard a thing one time about a man going before the court and stood before the judge, and his daughter began to plead for him. There was no doubt in his guilt. He was guilty, and she began to plead for him. And she began to ask the judge, said, "Why don't you let him go? Why don't you set him free?" And the judge said, "Well, would that be justice?" And she said, "No, but I'm not asking justice. I'm asking for mercy." And I want to talk about the mercy of God. We didn't get the justice that we deserved, but we got the mercy of God. If you got the justice, that would be a tough thing. But we've got the mercy from God. In Psalm 103, in the first verse, Psalm 103 in the first verse, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now, I want you to think about the benefits of God. Have you ever thought about benefits from God? It's just uncountable. You couldn't number it, the benefits that come from God. You know, if we go down on a job application sometime, we'll make a decision about whether or not to accept a job because of the benefits, right? Benefits make a difference in this day and time, don't they? Don't benefits make a difference? Well, I want to tell you, with God, it said, forget not all his benefits. Now, there's benefits with God. What benefit package would you rather have, one with God or one from man? And verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now you can stop right there, not ever go any farther, and we would know that this is a benefit from God. It talks about who forgiveth all thy iniquities. There's not anything anybody here has ever done that God can't forgive. Now I know we can read about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, that's unbelief. But if you'll believe God can forgive you, you can be forgiven. There's nobody here that could deem themselves unworthy of the forgiveness of God. It said he died for us, and yet while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we begin thinking about the benefit. It said, who forgiveth all thy iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases. A lot of people say, well, the Lord didn't heal all my diseases, so how will I know if he forgave all iniquity? You will be healed of all your diseases. Disease don't pass the grave. There will be an ultimate healing one day. You might have something to stop this flesh, but it won't go through to the next life, and there will be a healing. In verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Thank God that he's that way. I'm so glad to read to you about a God that is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. You know, how wonderful a word this is to give to a congregation of people that came to worship and praise God. That'd give me more reason to worship and praise him, wouldn't it? Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And that's, I guess, as exciting a thing as I could tell everybody here today, that God don't get mad easy. You know, some of us fly off the handle at anything. And everything, and even the promise of something, we fly off the handle. You don't get upset just this quick. That's not godliness. A lady told me this morning, said, I've got the right to be mad. I said, yes, you do. It says, be angry and sin not, though. Right? But it's not godliness in us. It's not showing a godliness part of us. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He has not dealt with us after our sins. Isn't that a wonderful thought? If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't have made today. You know, I'd have been somewhere crucified. I'd have been somewhere slain for my sins. I don't know, you know, we sometimes like to justify ourselves and think how good of people we are. And I tried to make that conviction all week. Okay, I'm a pretty good person. I do this and I don't do that. But I'm still sinful in nature. It's still there. You know, there's still the thoughts at times that I don't control. There's still the feelings that I seem that I have a hard time controlling. And when I read this, that he's not dealt with us after our sins, it's a good thought to know that we didn't get what we deserved. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I did not get what I deserved. I got mercy. I got love. And not what I deserved. I talked to so many people and said, well, I've just been so bad. I've just been so evil. I've had this in my life. I've had this in my life. I've had this in my life. And it bothers me so much that they've deemed themselves unworthy of the grace and the forgiveness of God. That's a sad thing, isn't it? That people have deemed themselves unworthy We were made worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. Verse 11, for as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as east is from the west, that's a never ending. Now there's a north pole and there's a south pole, and you can go from there to there, but east to west, it never stops. It's continuous. And I thought about how much love is demonstrated through this, that God could forgive me, that he could count me worthy through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, to have an access to a heavenly home, an access into a place of godliness and righteousness. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He's got more mercy than all of us as fathers. I know none of y'all would chastise or treat your children, I don't believe you would, unnecessarily rough. I believe you could have mercy on them, you could pity them, but God is so much more. God is so much more. I want to go over New Testament just for a few minutes, and I'm going to be closing very soon this morning. I believe the message is that you need to forgive yourself. God has already done it. If you've asked his forgiveness, he's finished with it. It's as far as east from the west. And now it'd be time to forgive herself, wouldn't it? Be time to forgive herself. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit. Have you got something in your life that's been condemning you for a long time? I'm going to suggest walk after the Spirit, and that dissipates. That goes away. There'll be no more. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So here we go again. If you'll walk in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. I don't care what anybody says about you in this life. I don't care what anybody in this building could say, or what anybody at your workplace, or anybody in your family, or anybody you might ever run up on in life. And regardless of whatever they may say, they'll be making a mistake if they think you're condemned, because God says you're not. There's no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit. Walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit. You want to be free, uncondemned? Walk after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I'm going to close right there. It gives a very good indication that if you mind the things of the flesh or mind the things of the Spirit, what would you follow this morning? There can be a free, there can be an unbinding this morning. You can be go away uncondemned of anything and everything that could have took place in your life. I'm so thankful that God said, I forgive. I'm so glad to read to you this morning from the Word of God that he's a loving God, slow to anger, merciful. Isn't that a wonderful God to serve? Let's have a verse of song and we'll close this service. There might be times in your life you wonder, well, do I deserve it? No, we don't deserve it, but God gave it to us anyway. Isn't that wonderful? He gave you the freeness. He gave you the forgiveness. We didn't deserve it, but God said, I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's yours. It's a promise from God. If there's anybody in this congregation today that's had a hard time forgiving yourself, understand, if you're walking in the Spirit and you've asked God to forgive, it's as far as east and the west, and I'm going to say, forgive yourself. Have the happiness, the joy, and the peace that God intends for his children to have. Amen. A verse of song. Anybody need to come and pray? Just come on. Amen. I believe that's going to be sufficient for the day. Good to see everybody. I read a paper the other day a man gave me. It was about a no-excuse Sunday at church. And I got to reading this, and I got completely tickled. It said for all those, you know, it said they had to rest, you know, it's their day of rest. They're going to bring recliners and beds. And for those that said, oh, it's their only morning to sleep in, they're going to let them make couches on the benches, you know. And for those that say, well, that's my only day, you don't have to mow the grass, they're going to let them push their lawnmowers up and down the highway. And for those that say, well, you know, that's the only day I have to clean my house, I'm going to let them vacuum during the service. So there'd be no reason or no excuse to miss church. No excuse Sunday. I'm thinking about going back and getting a copy of it, posting it, and having one of those here. No excuse. No excuse Sunday. Everybody plans. We set this down the road a month, 6 weeks down the road, and everybody starts planning. I've got to be at church. There's no excuse to miss church today. Huh? Yeah, okay. That's a good one, isn't it? But no excuse Sunday, you know. And I got tickled about it. They posted this, and they had it. They had a big thing out of it. And he said their attendance gained 50-something percent that day. No excuse. You know, they made one Sunday, whether they're going to be back next week or not. But, you know, and for those that's got to be on a trip, there was something that they could be doing. I really liked it. I'm going to try to get that. And we may have a no-excuse Sunday here one of these days and see how many people we can get to show up to church, you reckon? Amen. There's reasons to miss church, but there's a lot of excuses, aren't there?
Amen.
Amen. Good to see. All right, tonight we're going to try to have some flyers run off by tonight about the sunrise service. We want these at all the businesses on this mountain that we can get them in. If they'll allow us to put one up, we want to invite folks. We're going to try to have them this morning. We made a little bit of a change in them. It's just going to be basically what we had last time, except it's going to say free breakfast. I want everybody to know it costs them nothing to come here and eat breakfast. And I'm big on that. Some folks might not come because they worry about the cost. It won't cost them nothing. And so it's going to say that. If you've got a place that you can put one at your job or your work site, whatever it might be, if you need posters, just let us know. We'll try to get enough run off. We want to promote this. I'm hoping to get a lot of people out of this community. Some of the folks I saw there last year, that's their one church service a year. God power us that it'll be a good one. God bless us, the Spirit pour out, and if that's the only one they get, it will be a good one, you know. And so that's what we're looking for. Everybody be praying about it. Hope we get a lot of folks turn out there, maybe. All right, anything else? See y'all tonight. All right. Lord, thank you, God, for the day you've blessed us with and the time you've given us to come together, brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, just strengthen us by your word, encourage us, uplift us, help us to move forward for the cause of Christ. I continue, Father, to pray for the church, that God, you would help us to move forward, help us, Father, to strengthen each other, see for our needs, and take care of the business that you've left with us. God, just be with us, help us through each and every day. I'm going to praise you and give you the honor and glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.